Event Church. And boy, I love it when God moves and just shows up. My voice, we were like halfway through the first song and my voice was going. I was like, all right, we're just going for it now because there's nothing left. Amen. God likes that stuff. Amen. So this morning, guys, I'm going to be preaching a sermon that I'm calling. This is what the Lord asked me on Wednesday at prayer. The Lord said to me clearly, what are you looking at? And depending on where you're from, it could be like, what are you looking at? But, and immediately it was, what are you looking at? And then he said, what are you seeing, right? And what I read to you during worship was sent to me by my mother-in-law on Facebook the other day, really blessed me. Right about the woman, that blind woman who was healed. But the evangelist kept saying, close your eyes and what do you see? Right? I tell you what, sometimes, church, we just got to close our eyes because there's so much crazy going on around us. Amen. Like, if you're going through life with your natural eyes and that's what's guiding you, man, you're going to be a mess. Can I get amen? Right? You even look at our culture and our country right now, what's going on in our country. Their country is man, we need revival bad. Can I get amen? There's not a political solution to what's wrong with our country, right? We need God to come and move in power and in might. Amen. So this morning, what are you looking at? What are you looking at? A little bit of review from the last couple of weeks. I preached a couple of weeks ago. Last Sunday was Pastor Al preached a sermon. I forget the title of it, Pastor, but basically was talking about how are we thinking, right? In one of his scriptures he used there is Proverbs that says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Right? And it's very similar. So we're talking about a very similar concept, but how am I seeing? Like, what am I looking at and how am I seeing it? Amen? And the Lord said to me this week in prayer, he said, how you see things in your life reveals your maturity level. Right? How you see things in your life reveals your maturity level. And that's not a condemning statement, church, right? But how many of y'all have ever been someplace where you're looking at something and somebody's next to you looking at the same thing and they see one thing and you see something totally different? And they're like, don't you see that? And you're like, what are you talking about? I don't know what you're looking at. We're looking at this painting or we're looking at, you know, we could look out the window in the backyard and you see the other day there was a little bunny rabbit in my backyard and I held Everly up. And I said, don't you see that bunny? And she's looking right at it, you know? And she's like, I don't see it, Daddy. I finally, I opened the window and I yelled at it and it moved. You know, then she could see it, right? But she's looking right at it. It can't see it, right? And as the Lord started stirring my heart about this, I just, so many Bible stories come into my mind of groups of folks seeing the same thing but seeing something totally different, right? So I want to talk to you a little bit this morning about how, it's like, what am I looking at? And it's not physically what am I looking at, but how am I seeing it, right? Do I see the problem or do I see the provision, right? Dee, she sent me something real nice a couple weeks ago. Look, she got scared. What'd I do wrong? Nothing, girl. She sent me something a couple weeks ago about the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000 with the two loaves and the five loaves and the two fish, right? And she says, you know, I think it was in Luke's gospel. Was it Luke's? Yeah, so in Luke's gospel, Jesus asked the disciples, you know, let's feed all these people, right? And it's like Andrew or one of them says, Philip, maybe he's looking at this, how big this need is. And he's saying, Lord, there's no way. There's no way we can meet this need. Look, send all these people away. But Andrew is the one that grabs these two fish and five loaves from this little boy, and he says, Lord, here's what we've got. What are you going to do with it? Right? And I was like, yeah, that's so good, man. The Lord's been on me saying, son, I don't need what you think you need to get done what I told you I'm going to do. You think you need this much money. You think you need this many people. You think you need this building. You think you need this thing. You think you need this. You think you need. He says, I don't need none of that stuff. I need none of it. As a matter of fact, if you read the Bible stories, especially in the Old Testament, God typically calls somebody. They start going, okay, that makes sense. I know where to go. And he says, no, no, no. I called you there, but you're going to start going this direction, and you're going to end up over there, not because you think you know what you're doing. Right? God says, I'm going to strip all the stuff away from you that you think you need just so you know when I give it to you, it wasn't because you're so good at it. Right? Read the book of Ezekiel, because that's the entire book of Ezekiel, man. God says, I'm going to do this and this and this just so you know that I'm God. Right? Imagine being Gideon, church. This is all bonus, by the way. Imagine being Gideon. We know the story of Gideon pretty well, right? God calls him. He's like, I'm nobody. My family's a mess. Okay, there's no way you're calling me. He throws the fleece out. He finally says, okay, God, I'm in. Then God says, okay, call all these men. 32,000 guys show up, right? Gideon's like, this is awesome, man. This is going perfect. And then God says, you got too many people. Right now, if I'm Gideon, right, and that's where I'm saying, like, all right, let's send like 10 home. Right? But God says, let everybody that's afraid go home. 22,000 guys take off. Then he says, go down to the river and drink some water, right? And another like 9,700 go home. He's left with 300 people. That whole thing takes maybe an hour or two. I don't know how long it takes. It doesn't tell us there, church. But could you imagine 99% of your ministry disappears? Boom. 32,000 to 300, 99%. You know what God says to him? On the same night, the Lord says to him, now go down and take down Midian. God doesn't even give the guy a day to recover from all that loss. He's like, now you're ready, bro. Am I preaching to anybody? Man, sometimes God's like, you're ready. And you're like, oh, no, I am not. No, nope. He's like, exactly, you're in the perfect spot. Amen. See, church, the enemy, one of the primary things the enemy's going to get you doing is looking at the wrong thing. Seeing things from the wrong perspective. Amen. The eyes, the Bible says, are the window to the soul. Right? My eyes are input. What I see is coming into me. Do you understand, right? So if I look at something and all I see is problems and all I see is defeat and all I see is discouragement and all I see is depression and all I see is confusion, you know what? All that stuff is polluting my soul. Yeah? Church, I've been there, man. I got the t-shirt and the Blu-ray DVD combo pack for that trip, bro, all right? But God is saying, are you done feeling sorry for yourself yet? It hurts so good. Anybody ever have God tell you that? Are you done yet? Yeah? He says, come on, man, let's go. Right? It's so easy to fix it in what we can see, to rely on our natural senses, to rely on our natural sense of sight. But God is calling us, church, to see what we can't see. To see beyond the natural realm in the supernatural realm. He's calling us to move beyond the realms of men in what men can accomplish, which can be amazing, right? Read the story of the Tower of Babel. That's pretty amazing what those guys were getting done, right? But into the realm of the Spirit of God. The realm of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, the realm where all things are possible. Amen. We was on our trip out west a couple weeks ago, and my father-in-law and I, we sat down, had dinner one night, met this young couple, really just a totally God thing. They ended up being Christians. We just started talking to them, but we were talking about, not even important what it's talking about, but we're talking about just a Christian discipline. That's a good way to put it, right? Amen. And they were questioning, like, we're not sure. We kind of know we're supposed to do this, but we're trying to figure it out or whatever. And what this young husband says to me, he says, you know, but all the preachers are here tell me if I do this, God's going to bless me. Amen. So y'all can probably gather what we were talking about. And this is what he says. He says, but I don't understand, because in my job, I'm as high as I can go. In my wife's job, she's as high as she can go. So how's God going to bless me more than what I've already got? And I was thinking about that the other day, and I'm thinking, bro, you're completely missing it, man. You think God is limited to blessing you by your position and your job. Anybody feel busted right now, right? Oh, guilty. Church, man, we all fall into that. Well, my paycheck is this big, so God's got to, dude, no, okay? But what's your testimony? How many kids did you raise? 4 kids, right? Do you have health insurance? No health insurance, raised 4 kids. How many people would that scare? That scared the pants off me right now, for crying out loud. What do you mean I got no insurance? How am I going to pay if my kids get sick or whatever? Dude, God says, I will provide for you. I will provide for you. Whether that means your kids don't get sick, whether that means somebody, all of a sudden you get a doctor bill in the mail and a check comes in the mail right after that, it doesn't matter how God's going to do it, church. The bottom line is God doesn't need our limitations. He says the moment you see what you see is your limitation, that's what you're going to get. But if you can see my provision, then that's what you're going to get. Can I get an amen, church? Right? We've got to start seeing what God says rather than what my own brain says. I should have got one amen on that one. Praise God. Church, our natural sight will rarely propel us to a place of faith. I want to say that one more time. Our natural sight will rarely propel us to a place of faith, all right? Here's what I mean by this. So we could take that certainly negatively, that we understand, right? God says this, all this stuff's happening. Man, where's God, right? That's easy. We understand that. But what I'm telling you, church, is that sometimes an answer to prayer, when we've been praying for something for decades, for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, and the answer comes, we fixate on that stuff, man. Whoa, God answered prayer. We're like, boop, and we want to camp out. Look at Peter, James, and John go up the mountain of transfiguration. Jesus turns into full of glory's whitest light. Elijah comes. Moses comes. Peter's like, this is awesome, man. We're going to stay here. Let's build some tabernacles. We'll build one for you, Jesus. We'll build one for Elijah. We'll build one for Moses. Forget all those crazy folks down there, man. Forget the ministry, man. Let's just stay in this prayer meeting for the rest of our lives because it's so awesome. Right? Peter's natural affinity, his natural sight derailed him from the mission. Right? It was a good thing he was seeing, and it got him off track. Church, you know what blessings from God are meant to be? I'm about to say this one time, but it's like the Lord said to me one day, he said, son, I never intended you to camp out at a blessing. A blessing is an encouragement that you're on the right track. Right? And he showed me like running a road race. I've never done that, never will. All right? I run to the fridge. That's it, man. A little bit less now. Amen. But if you're running a road race, right, I've just seen this on TV, you're running a road race, there's these tables throughout the road race with cups of water on them, or people there, right? And the runner just runs, and as he's running, he grabs this little cup of water and just swigs it at as he's running, right? He doesn't even slow down. Can I get amen? God says, that's what my blessings are supposed to be in your life. It's a period of refreshment. It's something to refresh you and say, man, you're okay. Keep going, man. Keep going, right? Church, whenever we have a breakthrough in faith, it's not a time to sit back on our laurels and say, oh, man, that was so good. Look at the breakthrough I had. God said, I want you to keep going, man. As long as I'm in this earth suit, God says, I don't care what you've accomplished. I don't care how high you've gotten. There's more. Keep going. Yeah? See, if my natural side is like, boy, victory, let's camp out. God says, no, you don't even reach base camp yet on this mountain. Keep going, man. Amen. Matthew 13, turn in your Bibles, little scripture to back this up. And it's pretty good. Matthew 13, verse 10, say amen when you're there. Probably going to take a few weeks on this. We'll see how it goes. But as you're turning there, I was thinking about Pastor Al. He used to preach pretty regularly about our gates, right, Pastor Al? Our gates, sight, how we see, how we hear, right? All these things that information comes into our bodies with, amen? Matthew 13, verse 10, and the disciples came and said to Jesus, "Why do you speak in parables?" Jesus answered them, "To you," everybody say to you, guess what, he's talking to us right here, amen? "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has, shall be taken away from him. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because while," look at this church, "while seeing, they do not see. And while hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. In their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, 'You will keep on hearing, but you will not understand. You'll keep on seeing, but will not perceive.' For the heart," look at Jesus is telling us why, right? "For the heart of this people has become," everybody say dull. Dull, right? "With their ears, they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they would see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their heart, and," everybody say this, "return, and I would" what? Oh. "I would heal them." Right? "I would heal them." Yeah. So Jesus, quoting Isaiah, is telling us one of the reasons we don't see healing in the body of Christ, and I'm not just talking about jumping out of a wheelchair, but I'm including that, amen, but healing soul, physical body, my emotional state, all these things that we can be sick in, right? One of the reasons we don't receive healing from God is because our hearts have become dull, and because our hearts are dull, we cannot hear properly, we cannot see properly, right? The Greek word for dull here, church, is fat. Our hearts have become fat, right? So if your heart, I found this out when I started working out at the gym. One of the scans that we take, we stand on this machine and it scans your body, right? And they have this thing called visceral fat. Anybody ever heard that? Visceral fat. Visceral fat is fat that collects around your organs and it makes your organs not work properly, right? So if you get a lot of fat around your heart, it makes your heart work harder and harder and harder, but it pumps less and less blood, right? So my first scan, my visceral fat level was not very good. It's good now by God's grace and a little bit of sweat, amen? But you understand what I'm saying? This is what Jesus is talking about, that our hearts become fattened. They become not strong and healthy, but there's fat around them, and it inhibits the ability for our hearts to be soft and moldable in the hands of the Lord. So when my heart becomes hardened, it affects how I see things, it affects how I perceive, it affects how I hear things, right? You ever go through a season in your life where every time you hear something from anybody, you get offended? Just me? Right? If you go through a season where you're not a day, because that can happen to anybody, right? You just didn't sleep real good and you're cranky. I'm talking about you go through a season where you're just on edge all the time. There's hardness. Your heart is becoming dull, and it's affecting how you hear. Do you understand? Yeah? Good? What we're talking about here, to use another word, and I've already thrown it out there, I think, is perspective. Everybody say perspective. Say it one more time. Perspective, right? Perspective is really talking about how I see something, right? I from a certain angle or a certain place of understanding, amen? And one of the things that God is calling us to, church, is a different perspective, right? I told one young man many years ago in our church, he didn't like it. I knew he wasn't going to like it. God told me to tell this young man. I said, I'm not going to tell him that because he's going to get mad. And I had to tell him anyway. But he was really upset about some circumstances in his life. I said, bro, you are asking God to change your circumstances, and God is trying to change you. And the moment that you decide to change, those circumstances probably won't even matter anymore. Maybe they go, maybe they don't. But it won't even matter. If you will allow God to change the way you're seeing things, the way you're thinking about things, the way you're processing things in your mind, the way you're speaking about things, the way you're reacting to things, if you will allow God to change those things, amen, then maybe that thing goes, maybe doesn't, but you don't even care anymore. You're like, man, that used to make me mad. That used to make me depressed. That used to make me upset. It don't even matter anymore because I'm grown. I've become stronger. I can handle that weight now. Amen? God is trying to get us to shift, church. Man, you look, read the Bible. Read these guys in the Bible. Very few guys in the Bible have it smooth sailing and easy going. These guys are living on the edge every single day. They are risking their lives every single day in the Bible, church. Can I get amen? And boy, this thing in America, just trust Jesus and it's going to be great. Well, maybe it will be, but that's because we live in America, not because God's blessing us necessarily. Can I get an amen? I've said it for a few weeks. We could be heading in a real tough direction in our country, and the church better wake up and get ready for it. America has become an idol to the church. Wow, I got one yup for that one. Church, most Christians in America got more faith in the government than they do in the Lord. Can I get an amen from somebody? Yeah. Could you imagine? Do you realize the financial situation of our government is a mess? Okay. The bottom falls out of that thing, there's a lot of stuff's going to end real fast. Right? Brother, how many stories have you told us about having no food in Africa? And they close their eyes and thank God for the food and open their eyes and there's food on the table. What? Church, I'm telling you. Well, I just want to go to 7-Eleven. Dude, that's easier. Yeah, it was Slurpee Day on Wednesday. Anybody hit Slurpee Day on Wednesday, 7-Eleven? Thursday? Okay, sorry. But you don't understand what I'm saying, church. Like, we like that. That's way easier. But how much more, like, awesome would it be to have to live in a situation where I need God to do something? I need you to do something, God. Can't do it. There's nothing to do. Amen, church? That's scary, but I want it. Amen. See, church, I've met people who have just come through hell. Pardon the expression, right? They've gone through awful, awful things. They've suffered. They have walked through fire after fire after fire. They've gone through trial after trial after trial. They've had dozens of opportunities to turn from God and curse him, and they're still standing. I like hanging out with those people. I want to know those folks, man. How did you make it, bro? Right? Because, church, that's what the Bible tells us is going to happen. To us, if we're really following Jesus, he's like, look, the world's going to hate you. You're going to suffer. You're going to, the foxes have of the ground have holes in the ground. The birds of the air, that's the Son of Man, has nowhere to lay his head. Sign me up, Jesus. Church, can I get amen? I was thinking this morning on the way in about Jesus commissioning his disciples. What's he tell them when he sends them out? Don't take any money. You're like, what? Could you imagine? I'm going to send some of you out on a mission trip. Well, Pastor, how much money do we get? None. What? Who's paying for the plane ticket? I don't know. God is going to pay for it. Jesus tells his disciples, don't even take two sets of clothes with you. Wow, he would stinketh quickly. Do you see what Jesus is like? Look, man, because all this stuff, you're going to get caught up in all this stuff, man. How am I going to pay for this? How am I going to pay for that? All this stuff. Church, I've been here, man. You know what we've gone through in our ministry for the last few years. Church, I know what I'm talking about, man. I got looking at stuff going, oh, gosh, how are we going to do this? How are we going to do that? God said, stop looking at that stuff. Stop it. Did I say any of that stuff? No. Sorry. He says, what did I say? What did I say? Perspective, church, is quite literally the difference between a situation dragging you backwards or propelling you forward. Perspective is the difference between doubt and faith. Perspective is the difference between courage and cowardice. Genesis 13, you can turn there with me in your Bibles. Genesis 13, just a couple of verses here, but I'm going to preach it pretty good. And then we've got one more story to look at here to wrap up. Y'all there? Genesis 13, verse 14 and 15. The Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, now lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward and southward and eastward and westward, for all the land which you see, everybody say see, I will give it to you and to your descendants forever. Amen. Right? Look at what God tells. Lift up your eyes. All right, now here's what I saw here that I never really paid attention to it before. Lift up your eyes, but God says, from the place where you are. From the place where you are. Okay, if you're not catching what I'm saying to you, you're going to catch it right now. You know what we do when we pray about stuff? Oh, God, please change where I am, and I'll worship you. Oh, God, please change this circumstance, and I'll bless you. Oh, God. You know what God says to Abram? Right where you are. His nephew had just left him. And if you read the story, church, when God tells Abram to leave his family and go, he takes Lot with him. And some preachers preach, well, he was disobedient to God or all this stuff. You know what? I don't think so. I think that Abram had such a close relationship with Lot. This is like his son. Can I get amen? Do you understand what I'm saying? Right? And then God is blessing Abraham and Lot together so incredibly that they can't maintain all of these sheep and herds and all this stuff, right? Amen. So God says, separate. Now, God tells Abraham, you two need to separate. Abraham says to Lot, you pick. You can have Sodom and Gomorrah or you can have this wilderness, right? Sodom and Gomorrah looks good. It's built up. It's already done. Boy, that sounds like American church. I don't want to do anything, Pastor. Just let me come and take what's already been built by somebody else. Sorry, that was just a side note. I think it was prophetic, though. Consumers, man, we're going to bind the consumer spirit in the American church in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible says we're supposed to give to God. He's an all-consuming fire. Yeah, amen. Anyway, Lot takes Sodom and Gomorrah because he wants easy street. And so Abraham now has suffered this separation, right? He's not in a good place, church. You got to see this, man. He's heartbroken. This son has chosen to go away from him, right? This nephew that he is so close with, he's not in a good spot. He's hurting. He's depressed. He doesn't know what's going on. God says, right there, what do you see? Amen. God is telling us right now, church, whatever you and wherever you are, lift up your eyes and look north and south and east and west. And whatever you can see, I'm going to give it to you. And to your descendants. You know how many people I've talked to in church? This is not condemning at all. People I talk to, oh, pastor, I just hope my past mistakes don't mess up my kids. And how are you seeing? What are you looking at? Because you know what? If that's a fear in your heart, which is a legitimate one, amen. I've certainly made some mistakes that I prefer my kids never find out about. Amen. When I was a little younger. Can I get amen, right? Any of us that have been parents, we could say, man, I really hope my kids don't do that, right? But church, you know what? If that's a dominant mindset, you know what it is? That's what you're looking at. I really hope my kids don't turn into drug addicts. I really hope my kids don't get hooked on pornography. I really hope my kids don't get... Whatever you see is what you're going to get. Can I get amen, church? Job, there's a famous scripture in the book of Job that says, the thing that I have feared the most has come upon me. Well, you know what? That sounds scary, or it's a promise from God. Because if you fear God more than anything else, then guess what's going to come upon you and your descendants forever? Can I get amen, church? Right? Dude, how about saying, you know what? I'm going to serve God, and this is my house. I pay the bills here. I pay the mortgage. This is my property. These are my kids, and this is what's going to happen in my home. Can I get amen? Because I can see it, right? I can close my eyes and I can see my little girls up here leading worship. I can see my little girls on fire for God. I can see my little girls praying. I can see my little girls reading their Bibles. I can see my little girls having an encounter with God. I can see that stuff. I'm not worried about, oh, I wonder what my little girls are going to do when they turn 15 and find boys. I'm looking at that stuff. I'm looking at God. He says, if you can see it, I'll give it to you. Yeah? Church, I know I said this years ago, but the Lord's reminded me of it, a lot of stuff that he told me a long time ago. It's good. Yeah? He says, son, do you realize that I might give you a promise that's not going to manifest in your lifetime? I was like, I don't like that. I want it now. Anybody ever have a temper tantrum with God? I want it now. But as I prayed about that and sought the Lord, he says, son, you don't understand that the things that you suffer right now, the ground that you're plowing up right now, the stuff that you're pressing through right now could be preparing something for your kids or your grandkids or your great-grandkids. Amen, church? You know what? God tells Abraham, I'm going to give you, your descendants are going to be like the stars in the heavens. You know how many kids he's got when he dies? One. Got a few grandkids in there, but can I get amen? It's definitely not like, okay, I counted five stars real fast. That's not cool. Can I get amen, church? Abraham, God gives him this dream that's being fulfilled today. Right? In your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Peter describes it, not seeds as in many, but seed as in one, as in Christ, right? The promise that God gave to Abraham was Christ, right? He gives him a promise, fulfills it 4,000 years later. Church, I'm telling you, if I can see stuff, okay, God, I see that. Okay, if by God's grace I got maybe 50 years left while I'm still breathing in this thing, right? And you know what? If it doesn't come to pass while I'm still breathing, that has no impact on whether or not it was a promise from God or not. I'm going to keep plowing that thing. I'm going to keep sowing that seed. I'm going to keep speaking that truth into my children, to my grandkids. I don't care what comes against them. This is what God said is going to happen. Yeah? Turn to me, Numbers 13. This is, we got a little bit of reading. And some of you that know the Bible well, you already know where we're going with this one. Y'all okay? If you're not, then just get right with Jesus and you'll be fine. Numbers 13, y'all there? Going to read quite a bit here. We're going to read verses 1 through 3 and then skip down a little bit because there's some stuff in there that's not terribly important for this morning's sermon. Numbers 13, verse 1, then the Lord spoke to Moses saying, send out for yourself men so that they may spy out the land of Canaan. What's another word for the land of Canaan, church? The promised land. Yeah, promised land, right? So we're talking about the promises of God, right? Amen. So God says to Moses, send some people out to spy this land out, right? To check out this promise that God has made. Amen? Right? You shall send a man from each of their father's tribes, everyone a leader. Everybody say leader. A leader among them. So Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran at the command of the Lord, all of them men who were heads of the sons of Israel. Verse 17, when Moses sent them to spy the land of Canaan, he said to them, go up there into the Negev, then go up into the hill country, see what the land is like, whether the people who live in it are strong or weak, whether they are few or many, how is the land in which they live? Is it good or is it bad? And how are the cities in which they live? Are they like open camps or with fortifications? How is the land? Is it fat or is it lean? Are there trees in it or not? Make an effort, then, to get some of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So let's pause here just for a moment. What is Moses' instructions to these 12 men? See the land, right? What's that like out there, right? Do you see a church? What's it? What are the cities like? What are the people like? What's the land like? What's the landscape? What's this? Look at that. Just give me a report. What do you see out there? Amen? Verse 21. So they went up and spied out the land from the wilderness of Zin as far as Rehob. But Rehob, I've got a typo, it looks like. Rehob at Libo Hamath, or however you say that. When they had gone up into the Negev, they came to Hebron, where Heman, Shishai, and Talmai, the descendants of Anak, were. Anak, church, is the race of giants that Goliath comes from. So this was the Anaks were when the angels came down and intermarried with women, and they produced this race of men that were like giants. That's Goliath. Amen. So these are big dudes. Yeah. Then. Verse 23, they came to the valley of Eshol, and from there cut down a branch with a single cluster of grapes, and they carried it on a pole between two men with some of the pomegranates and the figs. All right, so just picture that for a moment. One cluster of grapes is so big that two of these guys got to put a pole on their shoulders and carry it between them. I don't know about y'all, but I've never seen a cluster of grapes that weighs more than like 2 pounds. Right? This is one cluster of grapes that these guys are like, bro, give me a hand with this. Right? One cluster of grapes, yeah? Fruitful, right? It's a fruitful place, right? That place was called the Valley of Eshol because of the cluster which the sons of Israel cut down from there. Verse 25, here's where it gets spicy. Then, when they returned from spying out the land at the end of 40 days, they proceeded to come to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the sons of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh, and they brought back word to them and to all, and to who, church? Oh, mistake number one. You're sent out by Moses, and now you're going to go tell all the people. Amen? Verse 27, thus they told him and said, we went into the land where you sent us, and it certainly does flow with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, everybody say nevertheless, the people who live in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. Amalek is living in the land of the Negev, and the Hittites and the Jebusites, and the Amorites are living in the hill country. And the Canaanites are living by the sea and by the side of the Jordan. Then Caleb, everybody say then Caleb. Then Caleb, what does the book of Joshua describe Caleb. Everybody know that? Caleb has a what? A different spirit. Right? In the book of Joshua, it says Caleb has a different spirit. Yeah? So Caleb quiets the people before Moses and says, we should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we will surely overcome. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are too strong for us. So they gave out to the sons of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone in spying it out is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great size. There also we saw the Nephilim. The sons of Anak are part of the Nephilim, so there's the race of giants, right? And look at this, church. We became like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight. What are you looking at? Here we've got 12 men all saw in the natural the same thing. We've got, these 10 men didn't start off with a bad report. They started saying, man, this land is awesome. It is fruitful. Look at these grapes, man. But there's some big dudes in there. There's some big problems we got to overcome. There is some massive obstacles in the way. And all of a sudden, the mission that Moses sent them on goes from reconnaissance, right? Just tell me what you see, and I'm the one that's going to make a decision about what we do. Right? Can I get amen, church? We've got a few people that have been in the military. If somebody was sent on a recon mission and they came back and had built a conclusion off the recon, are they going to get a commendation for that, any military people? Heck no. They're going to get chewed up. All right, I didn't tell you to make any. If I want you to think, I'll tell you to think about it. Can I get amen, church? Right? If your job is to simply go in there, take some pictures, and come home, that's all you're supposed to do. Right? That's what Moses is saying. Go in there, take some pictures, let me know what it looks like. I'm the one that will devise a game plan of how we're going to take this thing down. Can I get amen, right? Church, you know what? We've got to be like that. We've got to stop telling God all the reasons that things can't get done. We've got to stop telling God, God, I know that you told me you're going to do this. I know you told me you're going to do this in my family. I know you told me you're going to give me this blessing. I know you told me this, but look at all these problems between where I'm at and what you told me I'm going to get. Church, we know this story. What's the result of this story? God says, you wicked and unbelieving people, you're going to go wander in the wilderness 1 year for every day you were spying out that land, every day that your faith should have been growing, every day that you should have walked into that place saying, look at what God's going to give us. Man, that's a big dude. I can't wait to see God take him out. Man, look at that city. I can't wait to see what God's going to do with that thing. Man, look at this situation. I can't wait to see how God's going to take care of that thing. Church, these men are leaders, man. These men are leaders. I almost spit on you, bro. These men are leaders, right, who are 5 weeks removed from walking through an ocean on dry ground because it split in half. It stood up like a wall on each side of them, man. 5 weeks. Maybe 6. Come on. The Holy Spirit said to me, Pastor, I don't really feel like a leader. So he says, son, part of the reason that folks can't lead anything in their lives is because they can't even lead themselves. Well, I'm not a leader. You're leading yourself. Every time you look in the mirror, you got something to lead. Right? Sometimes you got to look in the mirror and talk to yourself and say, you better get your act together. Let's go, buddy. The Bible says David encouraged his own soul, right? David got a hold of himself and said, well, you cut it out. Let's go. Enough of this pity party garbage. Enough of this depression. Enough of these whiny psalms. We need a little Selah in there somewhere. Amen. I think sometimes David wrote half a psalm, and then he stopped, and God's like, you ain't done with that psalm yet, because that one's depressing. You're only halfway through that story, all right? Get in there and write the second half. Amen, church? Look, at these leaders, church, they had all been through the deliverance of Egypt. They had seen the 10 plagues that the Lord rained down on Egypt. They had all seen the Lord part the Red Sea. They had all seen and eaten of the manna in the Stop and Shop rotisserie chickens from heaven. They had all followed the pillar of cloud and fire from the Lord, miracle after miracle after miracle. They had all heard the promises of God given to give them this land. They had heard it, church. They had been in captivity, enslaved for 430 years, man. 430 years crying out to God. God delivers. God delivers. God delivers. God delivers. God finally, God says, okay, I'm coming. Here I come. Okay? They're 6 weeks away from getting delivered and going like, eh, I don't think God's with us. Oh, man, we do that all the time. I do it every day pretty much. That's where I'm like, God's like, come on, man, let's go. Look, here's what he said to me just yesterday. He said, son, salvation is a gift. I give it to you. You don't need to change your perspective to get saved. Come on, church. That's why somebody could walk in off the street with a needle hanging out of their arm and meet the Lord radically. Boom! Man, they just get radically saved right on the spot. Come on, church. You know what I'm saying? You don't need to change your perspective to get saved. But he says, son, you need to change your perspective to access some of my promises. You can't keep thinking the way you always thought and get the stuff I want to give you. You can't keep seeing how you always saw things and think you're going to get what I got for you. You got to see things different. Right? I've got to be able to look at the same situation that caused me to want to give up and see power and strength in it. And that situation ain't changed at all. Because something ain't going to change out there until something changes in here. Right? I start seeing things different in here. I close my eyes. What do I see? Ah, all right. Now when I open my eyes, I've got to still see what I can see when my eyes are closed. What I see in my prayer closet when God whispers to my heart and says, I've got that. I've got that. I've got to still hear that whisper when I open my eyes and get out into the world. Is that little whisper still loud in my spirit? I've got that. I've got that. I've got that kid, I've got that financial situation, I've got that health issue, I've got that ministry challenge, I've got it. I've got it. I've got you. Church, amen. God had talked to Israel over and over and over and over. I am giving you this land. I'm giving it to you. Read the book of Numbers, man. It's a powerful book. He says, I'm going to send my spirit ahead of you, and he will prepare that land. He's going to go in there, and he's going to just till it all up. And when you show up, you just got to chase them out. They're already scared. Amen? Because, church, if you go to the book of Joshua, when Joshua goes in and sends two spies this time into Jericho, they meet Rahab, the harlot, right? She's you know what she's doing, man. She ain't righteous at all. But you know what these two spies find out? Actually talking to her, because there's another issue, church, I'll get to in just a second as I'm wrapping up my sermon in like the next 35, 40 minutes or so. Praise God. Perfect. Right? These two spies actually talk to someone in Jericho. And you know what she says? She says, oh, you're from the nation of Israel. We've heard about you. And you know what? The men's hearts of Jericho have melted because of you and what your God has done. And they were like, man, that sounds different than what those 10 other guys said. Can I get an amen? You know the story of Gideon? You know, let's touch on Gideon just for a minute because this all ties together by God's grace. If you're confused, listen to it again. Amen. Right? So Gideon gets down to 300 guys. God says, on the same night, go down to this camp. And he says to him, you know what he says to him, though? But if you're still afraid, take your buddy. It's like P something. P Diddy. I don't know what his name is. It's a P name. Some weird P Israel name. I don't know. But he says, take your buddy if you're still afraid. And I'm like, wait a second. You already sent all the scared guys home. Apparently, if you're a leader and God calls you, even if you're scared, you can't go home. That's messed up. Right? Like, I'm scared. Can I go home? Come on, right? But no, he says, no, you can't go home. You're the man that's got to do this stuff, right? So anyway, he goes down to the camp, and he sneaks up, and he hears these two Midianites, and they're talking. And the one Midianite says, he says, hey, man, I had a dream the other night. You're in the wrong seat, bro, or maybe the right seat. I don't know. I had a dream the other night, and I saw this huge barley loaf roll into our camp, and it hit a tent and smashed it down. He says, I don't know what's going on. The other guy says, that is nothing less than the sword of the Lord and of Gideon, and the Lord their God has surely delivered us into his hand. And the Bible says, then Gideon became strong. So Gideon's hearing what God's saying to him, and he's like, oh, okay, I'll try. I don't know. Yeah, he's like 2 steps forward, 3 steps back. I don't know what I'm doing, Lord. I'm going to try. I mean, come on, man. If I threw a blanket outside 2 nights in a row and one night it's wet and the ground is dry, next wet is dry and the ground is wet, I'd be like, I'm in. All right, I don't know how you did that, but I'm good to go, right? For sure. Can I get amen, church? But the Bible says that Gideon does not become strong until he actually hears what the devil says about him. You know what causes so much fear in us is because we assume what the devil's saying about us. We become like grasshoppers in our own sight. Oh, that looks so big. I don't know how I'm going to do it, brother. But if you get close enough to the devil to hear what he actually says about you, I hope he doesn't figure out who he is. I hope he just keeps looking at all those problems. I hope he keeps looking at his bank account. I hope he keeps looking at people. I hope he keeps looking at culture. I hope he keeps looking at that doctor's report. Because if he starts looking at the right thing, it's all over. Isn't that good, church? Let's stand to our feet. I'm just going to make a declare here, and you can join me if you want to do this. And maybe we need to just join hands if you want to do this. So let's all join hands. I'm going to join hands with this young brother right here. Amen. So I'm just going to read this, and then we could shift the words a little bit and make it a declaration for our church, for you personally. Amen. But this is where I'm just saying, I'm done being one of the 10 spies. I'm done allowing my natural sight to dictate the posture of my heart. I'm done letting the obstacles and walls and giants turn my heart away from what God has said. God told me, this is personal, but you can claim it in Jesus' name. God told me years ago that I am a Joshua and that I am going into the promised land. And he's given me a Joshua spirit, and I thank God that he won't leave me alone with that, no matter how many times I whine and cry about it. Amen. Anyone else done letting fear control what you see? Anyone else done wandering in the wilderness because of a lack of faith? Amen. So, Father, we just come to you right now in Jesus' name. And, Lord, I want to release prophetically right now a Joshua spirit on this house, God. Even a Caleb spirit. It was Joshua and Caleb were the two spies that gave a good report. We don't see Joshua talking in that story, but Joshua's there. Amen. He's one of the spies that goes in, and he says, man, he's there. Let's do it, man. We got this. God's with us. We can do this. So, Father, we thank you for just even that Caleb spirit, that different spirit in us, Father, that we will no longer, Father, look at obstacles. We're not going to look at walls. We're not going to look at giants. We're not going to look at sicknesses. We're not going to look at family issues. We're not going to look at financial challenges and say, oh, God, where are you? But, Lord, that we'd start seeing these things the way that you want us to see them. If you go to the gym, the only way you get stronger is to pick up weight that is heavier than you want to pick up. It's especially if you've got a trainer, the trainer's going to say, man, I know you can lift that much. You say, but I've never lifted this much weight before. He says, yeah, but you've been working out. You've been pressing. You've been disciplining yourself. You've been training. I know you can do it. Church, there's the Holy Spirit in our hearts saying, I know you can make it. I have allowed this thing to come because you're stronger than you know. You're stronger than you think. You're stronger than what the devil's been telling you. You're stronger than what circumstances have been lying to you about. You're stronger. You can do it. And yeah, I feel weak. Well, good. Because in your weakness, my strength is made perfect. I am not afraid of your weakness, says the Lord. I am working right in it. I am not limited by your limitations. Nothing is too difficult for me, says the Lord. So, Father, I pray this very moment, Lord, that something shifts in our spirit. That we, as Jesus prayed for the blind man, it says that there was like scales fell off his eyes. Lord, that we be like Gehazi, who saw the army all around. And Elisha says, Lord, I pray that you'd open his eyes. And he opened his eyes and saw chariots of fire on the mountain surrounding Elisha. Father, if all we see is the devil, I pray that this very moment, something shifts. And we start seeing the kingdom. We start seeing your hand, Father. We start seeing your faithfulness, God. We start seeing your power. We start seeing your wisdom. We start seeing your love, God. We start seeing, Lord, that you know the end from the beginning. You will never leave us or forsake us. You'll never fail us, oh God. So, Lord, we thank you for what you're doing in this house, and we say all together, have your way. Have your way. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. Have an awesome week. Amen. And I want to encourage you guys. Listen up, listen up. Last thing real quick, guys. We had a word from Pastor Al a couple Sundays ago about the next 3 months. All right? About really pressing into God. 3 months. We have that word? All right, we're going to get that word out on our website or Facebook or something. But church, I just want to encourage you, the next 3 months, come to prayer, right? We had a powerful prayer meeting here on Wednesday night. I'm busy. Everybody's busy. But if you notice, I don't know if you guys have noticed this, and Rachel would feel embarrassed if I pointed it out, but since she started Thursday night prayer, she's coming up here during worship. She's engaging the Lord. Because God is meeting her as she's stepping out in faith. Amen, church? And I'm not saying every single Wednesday, but come and gather with the saints. Seek God together. Amen. God bless you. Have an awesome week.